Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber on KZSU Stanford. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
Great to hear your voice.
Thank you. Good to hear yours as always.
Yes.
It's with some of the technological difficulties we've had, just hearing our two voices over the air is sometimes, kind of it's a little moment of success, right?
Just getting started. Yes, and you sound crystal clear, which is very exciting to me as well.
Mm-hmm. So hopefully those callers will sound crystal clear.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
We hope so. And if you'd like to be one of those callers, we'd love to talk with you today. Phone number is 650-723-9010. Again, that's 650-723-9010. The phone lines are open here. Give us a call. Sherry would love to talk with you. Sherry, you're just back from a trip to the East Coast.
That's right. I visited beautiful downtown New York, New York.
Uh-huh.
And then spent some lovely days in Pennsylvania.
Great.
A place you know something about.
I know a little bit about Pennsylvania, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it was all just quite lovely because the weather was stunning.
Oh, great.
Mm-hmm.
Great. That makes
sense.
And
you know, that is a good day in my world. when the weather is good, you get outside and see the beauty of nature. It's a good day for me. So
yes,
yeah.
Yes.
And of course, on top of that, I met a lot of and got to see again a lot of great people. Had some good conversations.
Wonderful.
And some good workshops and things like that. So it was very good. And then tomorrow, blessed to go to more beautiful places. I'm going to be on retreat in Carmel.
Yes.
We have a few places. Now, if you want to sign up and join us, you can. Have a few spots left in that retreat. So
yes.
We're going to go down there and do some retreating and add some things like going to Point Lobos and visiting the otters and sea lions and things like that. Sea kayaking and hiking and and then down to Southern California for a couple of events in Los Angeles.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. On June 11th and 12th, I believe.
Yes, June 11th and 12th. There's a Thursday night in there.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what that is. June the 10th.
Yes.
I'll be at the Learning Annex, and then 11th and 12th at Yoga Villa
in North Hollywood.
In North Hollywood.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm. So I hope to meet a lot more really nice people
yes.
and have even more great conversations.
Yes. Sounds like a good deal.
Mm-hmm.
And the retreat in Carmel is a Zen and yoga retreat. Is that correct?
Zen and yoga. Yes. Yoga, Pilates, and somatics, and Zen awareness practice in tremendous physical beauty and,
yes.
Complete with walks on the beach and delicious monk-cooked food.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a highlight. And I can vouch for that location. I've been there. It's beautiful.
It is. It's wonderful, isn't it? Yeah. And I think that this is going to be kind of a peak time of year. So.
Mm. Yes. Wonderful.
Yeah. So lots of opportunities for practice,
mm-hmm.
including this one this evening.
Mm-hmm. What a blessing. Information about all of Sherry's events and workshops and retreats are available on Sherry's website, which is sherryhuber.com, and that's spelled CHERIHUBER.com. Also on that website are archives of all of the radio shows, so please check that out and let us know what you think. If you want to email us any questions you have, you can reach us at openair@kzsu.org. Our phone number here today is 650-723-9010. The phone lines are open. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. And Sherry, people have been in touch with us by email.
Mm, very good.
From down under, even.
My goodness.
Yes. All the way from Australia. Hi, Sherry.
Isn't that remarkable?
Yes.
I just love that. We have a chance to find that out with some regularity, not just email classes, but at the Zen Center office and at Keep It Simple Books. And, we hear from people all Facing Awareness, who are attempting to wake up and end suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Heartening isn't the right word. It's inspiring. It's exciting.
Inspiring.
Yeah.
Feels to me like it touches something universal, that it has that draw.
Mm-hmm. So what's going on in Australia?
Hi, Sherry. I was listening to you via the radio show archives talk about the pattern of a feeling in the body leading to a thought, leading to the feeling of distress or suffering. I was thinking about exercise, and there is a very strong bodily feeling that goes with the thought of people seeing me while I'm exercising, a feeling I call embarrassment, which is enough to make me can the whole idea. My eyes close, my mouth smiles tightly, my face feels hot, I get a pressure tension under my ribs, my stomach clenches. The sensations flood my body, so I don't even know what I'm thinking, just that I want out of these feelings. They overwhelm me. When they dissipate, I firmly decide that I don't want to experience that again, so I'd better not do whatever it was I was thinking of. When I question that decision, there is a thought that says, "Well, do you want to feel that way again?" And the answer is, "No, I don't." Okay, case closed. I can sit through the feeling, but I'm having trouble detaching from the bit at the end where I decide that was horrible and I want to avoid it as much as possible. That seems very, quote, true to me. Any help on this, Sherry? From a listener in Australia.
Well, of course, this is one of my favorite subjects in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And my response to it, I know, to that one who was listening, especially to that last piece, sounds demented, and that's fine, because once we start practicing with it, we get a sense of exactly to whom it sounds demented and why. So the first thing about it is to be in that sensation and realize there's nothing inherently awful in any of these feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we go up to the head, the meaning we give these feelings is perhaps awful.
Uh-huh. It's
upsetting. But even when we get to the place of, do you want to feel that again? No, I don't. Well, for me, the question that comes up immediately is, why?
Mm-hmm.
Why? It's not like, you know, being trapped under an automobile or, it's not being in a collapsed mine or, you know, it's not like death is going to probably happen at any moment.
Mm-hmm.
These are just feelings in the body. You know, the face is hot. What was it under the ribs?
Yes.
There's a pressure.
My face feels hot. I get a pressure tension under my ribs. My stomach clenches. My eyes close. My mouth smiles tightly. My face feels hot.
Yeah. So there's nothing terminal in any of those.
Yes.
And so, of course, what I encourage people to do is seek out that experience, rather than going with the person who says, no, I don't want to experience that. Now, first of all, it's not a requirement that that person who has been left feeling that feeling has to be the one who does the activity.
Mm-hmm.
So it's exercising. And somebody is exercising along, and then there's this thought, there's a projection onto people are looking at me and what they're thinking about me, and then there's this physical response that follows that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not necessary for that very self-conscious, embarrassed person to be the one who's exercising. In
mm-hmm.
fact, it would be helpful and just downright intelligent to let the person who loves to exercise, exercise.
Mm-hmm.
That person, chances are, is not going to even be aware that there are other people around who might be watching.
Mm-hmm.
And probably that person's projections would be, these people think it's wonderful that I'm exercising.
Uh-huh.
Because the person who loves to exercise thinks exercise is wonderful, feels wonderful about it, feels wonderful doing it, is going to project that onto other people.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a key piece of it right there. So you invite in the person who wants to exercise, and I'm sure that there's a list of things that fall into this category, and so you want to make sure that whatever the activity is, you have the right person there,
mm-hmm.
not this self-conscious, shy, easily embarrassed, sounds like kind of preteen person. That's not a good person to be doing almost anything except maybe being in your bedroom listening to music. You know, or talking on the phone with your friends. That's,
yes.
You know, that's probably the extent of what that person should be in charge of at this point.
Yes.
So we get the right person there doing the job, and then we watch for that experience to happen. And it probably will, because if we're not paying close attention, then the right person for the job is going to leave, and this shy, self-conscious person is going to come in. So then we have that experience, and we watch really closely. What is it about this that is so awful?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to bet that in that 99% of it is the thoughts in the head, the self-talk about it, the conversation that somebody is having about what people are thinking, what this means, and what this says about me, and all of that. It's not about the exercise. It's not about how I'm doing it, or it's not even about what people think about me. It's this part who is engaged in a self-hating attack.
Mm-hmm.
That's the part that's so painful.
Mm-hmm.
So, and there's no way to avoid those. The only way around those is to see them for what they are and stop participating in them. So
uh-huh.
It's not like, you know, I'm ever going to get to be the person who's not going to be the recipient of those self-hating attacks. It's not going to happen through, you know, the way I look or what I do or how other people perceive me. You know, I'm not going to become a wonderful enough person not to get those attacks, because those attacks are not based on anything except self-hating attacks.
Uh-huh.
So when I get into those sensations and I realize that there's nothing about those sensations that is inherently awful, they're just sensations in the body, then I can step back a little bit and start to focus my attention on that self-hating conversation. Now I've separated it out. Okay, that self-hating conversation is what's causing all of these feelings in the body. The feelings are not that horrible. I can certainly stand them. They're really not a problem. And what I really want to work on is this self-hating conversation. I want
mm-hmm.
to change my relationship with that.
Mm-hmm.
But we're never going to get there through avoiding life in an attempt to avoid that self-hating conversation, because it's not based on anything in particular. It's just abuse. And as long as that abuser is allowed to abuse, that's going to go on. I mean, a person could stay home in bed and be abused for staying home in bed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, I remember listening to one of the previous shows where you talk about that relationship of abuse. And it's, I abuse because, and there's always a reason.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
And truly, the relationship that most of us experience is, I'm being abused because.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm being abused. I that voice is talking to me that way because I did this, because I said mm-hmm. that, because I looked this way, because I didn't, whatever it is. And, you know, we'll believe that for as long as we believe it. And when we don't believe it any longer, it'll be because what we've realized is that voice says those things because that voice says those things.
Yes.
Yeah. Just
yes.
like any abusive relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I beat you up because... No, I beat you up because I want to and because I can.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're no longer open to it, then I will no longer be able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll be the same person you've always been, only happier.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on KCSU Stanford. We'd love to hear from you today. The phone lines are open. The number here is 650-723-9010. Again, that's 650-723-9010. So give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. Sherry, in responding to that question, you focused on different aspects of the personality and self-talk and self-hate. And I was wondering if you could elaborate on those topics for people who may not be familiar with those.
Mm-hmm. Well, when we're growing up, what happens to us is that we get so much information that the way we are naturally is not okay. So, you know, I want to pick that up, and my parent doesn't want me to pick that up. I want to throw my food on the floor, and that's not okay. I want to, whatever it is that I want to do, that I'm, as a little kid, I'm just inspired to do. Because, you know, little kids are all about finding out how things work. So, you know, what happens when I smear my food on the wall? What happens when I throw it on the floor? What happens when I throw it at you? What happens when I rub it on my head? What happens? You know, it's all equally interesting. Huh? And, you know, there's no fear of not getting enough to eat. There's no guilt about you should be eating this or that. You should treat certain things certain ways. You know, none of that conditioning is in place. So it's all just really fun to experiment with. But it's not fun to adults because adults have been through that process of socialization and have this deep sense of how things are and how they should be and how children should act and what's the right thing, and are pretty committed to passing that along to children so that children will be the right way. And so all of that information comes in, and when we get to a certain age, we realize that this is not going well. You know, we've got to kind of get on a program of being pleasing to these people, or it's going to be increasingly unpleasant, which it is. You know, there's, and this is always, I want to point out that I'm talking about sort of your average loving family. You know, there are a lot of abusive yes. situations that are more hideous than we can even imagine. But in your regular, you know, parents love the child, want to take good care of the child, all of this sort of thing. There's what happens to a child at 1, and then at 2, and then at 3 years, and 4 years, and 5 years, and 6 years. You know, if the stakes change, the demands, the punishment, all of those things change as a child grows up. And so the child is constantly adapting, trying to survive, trying to be pleasing, trying to get his or her needs met. You know, it's a whole very complex dance a child is going through to try to make it through childhood. Mm-hmm. And at each step in this dance, as we're adapting, we're creating new ways of being that are going to help us survive. So in this situation, I act this way, and in that situation, I say that, and over here, I do this. And I'm starting to internalize the opinions that other people have about me. So if I discover that I can, by doing these different behaviors, get people to give me what I want, I might start getting the label manipulative. Mm-hmm. And after a while, I might include that in my opinion of myself. In fact, uh-huh. Yeah, it's really good that I will. Enough people say it, I start to believe it. And so there's an example. So now I have a manipulative part of myself. Uh-huh. And I also have a part of me who identifies with the people who called me that. So I feel bad and guilty. I am that way because I feel I need to be that way to survive, but I feel bad and guilty for being that way. You know, and then I'm over here and I decide that I'll be charming instead. Well, some people are still seeing that as manipulative. Other people seem to be charmed by it, so that works. So then I start, you know, I start pleasing people, and I find that if I think of them and do little things for them and I'm really polite, then people are really nice to me. So that's the direction. So I'm constantly, constantly, constantly adapting and creating these different aspects of the personality. So by the time we're grown, you know, we've got this whole little city inside with all these little citizens in different relationships with one another and with the world. And it's extremely helpful if we let the one who's good at whatever it is be in charge of that. So if it's a situation where charm would kind of smooth things over and make things work easier, then why not bring in the charming person to do that job rather than the part who learned to call charm manipulation? Conscious, compassionate awareness enables us to watch what we're projecting onto others, listen to the self-talk, kind of tune into what our bodies are doing, and we get a feel for which part of us is here, and if that's an appropriate part to be, you know, if I'm going to go to school, then get the good student, for heaven's sake. Don't get the rebellious teenager who, you know, wants to throw things at the instructor. So we get the right person there. We disidentify from these resistant parts of ourselves and the self-hating parts. We get the right person in the right job, and life works pretty smoothly.
Wonderful. Thanks for that background.
Pardon me?
Thanks for that background. That's helpful.
You're very welcome.
You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on KZSU Stanford. The phone lines are open here. Give us a call. The phone number is 650-723-9010. We'd love to hear from you. And Sherry, the baseball is over for today.
So how lovely. No game today?
The College World Series are starting up soon, and I think they're playing this weekend.
Yes.
Nice. So
how lovely for us. And how did Stanford do?
Stanford's doing very well. They've had a good season. And they've been near the top of the national rankings.
Wonderful.
Yes. Yes. So give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. Phone number is 650-723-9010. Sherry, I've been looking at a new magazine that you've turned me on to called Hope Magazine.
Isn't that a good one?
It's a good one. Do you want to tell people a little bit what it's about?
Well, no, I want you to tell them. Because
okay.
you have your brand new first issue there in your hands.
I do have my brand new first issue right here in my hands. It's called Hope Magazine. Website is hopemag.com. And the byline is Inspiring People, Encouraging Change. And from my perspective, it's a good overview of a lot of people doing a lot of different good work, for lack of a better word, in the world. And for me, it gives me a sense that I'm not the only one who wants to try to do this kind of work.
Yes. It's so easy, isn't it, to be in popular culture or whatever you want to talk about, this mainstream American newspaper headlines and television and radio. It's easy to get to a place of thinking, holy cow, the only thing that's happening in this world is bad news. And then you pick up something like Hope Magazine, and you find all these people in all kinds of different walks of life who've just gotten passionate about something and taken it on, and they are they're having fun, and they're, changing lives?
Yes.
Making a difference, however we want to talk about that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And you mentioned the culture, and that's, you know, that's what occurred to me over the weekend, is what I feed myself is what I end up believing and seeing.
Kind of, you are what you eat.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And if your diet is unpleasantness and hatefulness and bad news, then that's kind of what you wind up with.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You wind up with the feelings, the effects of that. And, you know, people sometimes say, but aren't you just, you know, what are you advocating, an ostrich approach to life? You know, I mean, this stuff is going on. It's real. And I would agree. It is. But it's not the only thing that's going on. There's also this whole other side, which, of course, is one of the reasons that I'm so passionate about the Peace Center, is that's one of the aims of the Peace Center is to connect up people with people who are doing work for peace or are interested in peace or care about it or have a plan for it or whatever it is all over the world.
Yes.
So that a lot of the world is at war. A lot of terrible things are being done by people to people. And there are a lot of people who are attempting to kind of balance the scales.
Yes.
It's good to have both sides.
Yes. And if people wanted more information about your Peace Center, what's a good place to go for them on the
internet? They could go to livingcompassion.org.
Yes.
I think, I think they can get there right through, probably through SherryHuber.com, too.
Yes.
I think we're trying to set it up so that all roads lead to peace.
Yes.
Whether it's finding out about the radio show or email classes or workshops and retreats we're doing or the actual Peace Center itself or the work that we're doing in Africa, hopefully it's all interconnected and all leads to something that somebody would like to do, gets sparked by and think,
yes.
They think, I want to participate in that.
I want to be a part of that. Sherry, the phone lines are ringing here.
Good.
I'd like to welcome Corrine from Canada. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hi. Hello.
Greetings.
Greetings to you, too. I got a bit of a weird echo here, so it's kind of funny to hear myself.
Is
that's
your radio
the one we
off?
Usually have.
What's that?
Corrine,
that's
is your
the one we usually have.
Yeah.
Actually, we do. So we've got a double reverberation thing going.
Okay.
Corrine, is your radio turned off?
Yes, it is.
Okay,
good. Yeah. So I wanted to call in because I got really excited what you were just talking about there. The whole thing about that self-hate is just going to keep on going and it has nothing to do with you.
Mm-hmm.
I've read that and I've known it, but I feel like I just really got it. Well, it's funny because I was thinking about calling in, and I wanted to talk a little bit about, I feel like I've just started realizing that I've been so unhappy because I'm still listening to the self-hate.
Mm-hmm.
And that whole discussion just made me really see the last little while that even though I've been trying to do this practice, that I've really actually just been trying to meet self-hate standards.
Uh-huh.
And
which is a whole different animal, isn't it?
It is. And just to hear that, it just clicked for me, just at this moment, that it really doesn't matter what I'm doing, what I'm not doing, it's still going to continue, and it's whether I participate in it or not.
Yeah. When I was traveling last week, somebody was telling me that they read this and there's nothing wrong with you, and I didn't actually remember it being in there, but
yeah,
that's what they said. She said she was reading along, and it said, your parents didn't do what they did to you. It wasn't personal. They would have done it to any child.
Yeah.
And it's that same kind of, wow, this has nothing to do with me. So why would I continue to be in a relationship with this voice that hates me, that only wants me to feel bad, and I'm never going to be able to be satisfactory. I'm never going to be able to win. How about if I just quit? How about if I just walk off and have a happy life?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just incredible. And that thing that was brought up, the lady from Australia with the body sensation, and just the thing that it just doesn't matter what it's about. It's always going to be something.
It's always going to be something as long as you're open to something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It just really has amazed me tonight. I don't know. It's pretty neat.
It get one of those enlightenment moments.
It is. And I've been needing one. So,
good.
Good.
Savor it.
For that. Yeah.
Savor it.
And,
excellent.
And then it was funny because I heard them saying, Michael saying no one's calling. So I thought, well, I guess I better.
Yeah, that's right. Get the ball rolling.
Yeah.
Because this is it, isn't it? I mean, this is the other conversation that's possible. That's why this radio show is so important to me. That's why workshops and retreats are so important, because we can have another conversation. We can have a conversation about what's right and about having enough and about what works and about what's possible and we can just lose interest in that other conversation about what's wrong and how there's not enough and nothing is right and it's always going to be like this and it's hopeless and here's the next piece of bad news that's coming down the pike.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very good.
It's funny, though, how I was just actually talking with a friend last night and saying, you know, when did I get so unhappy with life? And thinking that I'm, you know, well, not understanding what I'm doing wrong to be in that space. That's a whole thought there. But just today is seeing that that's what I've been hooked into,
yep.
is all that self-hate. And no wonder I'm miserable. How can you yep. be happy in that? There's
yeah,
no possible way.
I have a friend who says, who will walk up to you and say, so, how are you treating life?
How are you treating life?
Yeah, how are you treating life? Instead of how's life treating you?
Right.
Because what the conditioned mind has done with that, how's life treating you? Oh, well, this is what's wrong and that's what's wrong. And it's as if life is behind it. But how are you treating life? You know, that's such a different picture because there's life giving us all this wonderful, amazing stuff, and we manage to treat it all pretty shabbily. Good. Well,
yeah.
You're going to have a different kind of evening?
I think I just might.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. This is what I love about this stuff, you know.
Yeah, this is what we do awareness practice for, huh?
Yeah, definitely.
Those little moments.
Yeah.
Good.
So,
thank you,
yeah,
Corrine.
I just wanted to share that.
Thank you for doing that.
Okay.
Good night.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us, Corrine. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on KZSU Stanford. We'd love to talk.
It's good to have a happy customer, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. That awareness practice is out there, and by golly, it works.
Yes. Not just problems. We don't want to hear just about problems.
That's right.
Things are going great.
Well, we love those.
We love do. Whatever you want to share.
Yeah, we love looking at we love dismantling problems.
Yes.
And showing how unreal they actually are, what an illusion they actually are.
Yes.
And then to get to the other side, have one of those little moments of liberation. I tell you, that's good.
It's a good deal.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on KZSU Stanford. Give us a call. We'd love to talk with you today. The number is 650-723-9010. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to Open Air with Sherry Huber on KZSU Stanford. Give us a call. The phone lines are open here, and the number is 650-723-9010. Sherry, it's great to hear from people when things are going great and they're seeing
mm-hmm.
something new.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's fun. It's fun to celebrate it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Sort of pokes a hole in that belief that practice is hard.
Such a projection exercise.
Mm-hmm.
There's conditioned mind, talking about how hard awareness practice is. And awareness practice is as easy as sitting around smiling and breathing. And what's hard is that harangue of conditioned mind about, you know, what's miserable and what's wrong with you and all of that. That's what's difficult.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those. It's so simple when you see it and so complex when you don't. Because to sit there and just accept everything exactly as it is makes life really, really easy. And,
yes.
of course, within that, you know, you're free to do anything you want to do. So you accept life exactly the way it is, and that includes a lot of starving people around the world. And so you decide you're going to take that on, and you're going to start feeding people and make a difference in that.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no agony in it. There's no resistance. You don't have to hate anybody. You don't have to be miserable. You can be in fact, excited and inspired by what it is that you're doing. So to accept life exactly as it is, I am exactly the way I am, and I have, you know, depending on who you talk to, I have a lot of good traits, and I have a lot of really annoying traits. And that's just the package. You know, the tree has some limbs that grow the way people think limbs ought to grow, and some who just sort of are off on their own little program.
Mm-hmm.
And when we accept all of that, then life is easy.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun and it's pleasant. And the only thing that makes life unpleasant is that resistance, that constant diatribe about how different life needs to be. So once we see that, once we slip into that place of, I don't need to resist any of it. There's no necessity to tense up muscles and decide what's wrong and what I need to hate and what I need to take a stand against. I can just say, yes, this is the way life is, and then I get to participate in anything I want to participate in.
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
Sounds very liberating.
Yeah. Yeah. But before we make that switch, it seems like the responsible thing to do is to hate everything that's wrong in the world, and the good person thing to do is to know who's at fault and be resisting them. And, you know, that just seems like the right way to attack it. And that awareness practice is just hard. You have to sit in meditation, and you have to clear your mind, and you have to do all these really hard things, and it's boring, and it's a waste of time, and besides, I can't do it. And, you know, all projections from conditioned mind.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Awareness is just delightful.
Mm-hmm. Fascinating. And as you mentioned, so simple when we get there, when we come from that place, and when we're in conditioned mind, everything seems complex and complicated and impossible.
Yeah. Yeah. And the reason for that is that's the voice that we're listening to.
Mm-hmm.
Listening to a voice saying all of those things, and we're trained to not only listen to that voice, but to believe what it says.
Uh-huh.
Now, it takes a long time for people to consider questioning that authority inside their own heads.
Mm-hmm.
Just a simple question, you know, what if that voice isn't right? what if saying isn't true? What if what I believe isn't actually so?
Uh-huh.
That's just huge.
Yeah, it does sound really huge. Because it's been speaking with such authority for so long that we don't even consider that it could be true or it could not be true.
Yeah. Yeah, it's blasphemous to even question it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's wrong. It's scary.
Mm-hmm.
It's scary to think about questioning it, to think about going up against that voice, not doing what it says or feeling the way it says I have to feel, or you know, feeling guilty or bad about what it says I should feel guilty or bad about. Not being afraid of what it says I ought to be afraid of.
Uh-huh.
And we step outside and just say, well, you know, I really don't have any proof that it knows what it's talking about. Goodness knows it's been wrong an awful lot. It doesn't seem to be able to do anything about the present or the future.
Mm-hmm.
All it seems to know how to do is beat me up over the past and project out that awful things are going to happen to me in the future, most of which have never happened. So why am I giving all this power to that voice?
Mm-hmm.
Once we start questioning that way, it's a short little trip to liberation.
Yes. Yes. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on KZSU Stanford. The phone lines are open here. We'd love to hear from you. And the phone number is 650-723-9010. Sherry, we were talking about peace earlier. And Hope Magazine, and I was reading through Hope Magazine, and someone was referring to a fear about the danger of a prolonged period of peace. And it made me want to laugh.
Uh-huh. What did they talk about what any of those dangers are?
No, it's referring to a book, which I haven't read.
Uh-huh.
So I can't quote from there.
Uh-huh. And the name of the book is?
Let's see. The Coming Anarchy.
The Coming Anarchy?
Yes. By Robert D. Kaplan.
Oh, Well, now that would be a fun one, wouldn't it? We're always looking for, we're always trying to get a little book club started.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't seem to exactly fire people's excitement and imagination, but you never know.
Yes.
That sounds like an interesting one to read, and just so that we could learn about the dangers of a prolonged period of peace.
Yes.
As compared to the dangers of a prolonged period of violence and war. And
yes. Yes. It struck me as a belief that holds the current system in place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I, of course, I don't know, because I too haven't read the book. It's kind of hard to imagine, but a prolonged period of peace would certainly be different from the entire history of the world as we know it.
Mm-hmm.
So anything that's remarkably different from the status quo is often frightening to people.
Mm-hmm.
I find that peace is quite threatening to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Peace is often interpreted as unpatriotic, unsupportive of our troops. Frightening stuff. Anti our government, anti our way of life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm going to get my button very soon that says, tell me your experience of peace. So I'll be able to go out in the world and have lots of conversations about peace with people and find out what's scary about peace.
Yes. So your button will say, tell me your experience of peace.
Yes.
And what a great way to start a conversation.
Yeah, I'm hoping that people will do it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm hoping that they will do it, and that people who would like one of these pins, these buttons, will write to me, and I'll send you one.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can have conversations, and we'll all compare notes.
Mm-hmm.
About what kinds of conversations we have, and what we find out, what kind of people we meet. And I'm looking forward to it, because just going around in the world in airports and things like that, you know, there's a lot of time where you're just kind of hanging around and might as well meet somebody and find out how they view life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
And it's such an awareness practice kind of thing, because tell me your experience of peace. You see, the person has to go to their experience of peace in order to tell you about it.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully it has a double purpose, you know, get people in conversation, not arguments, conversation, because tell me your experience of peace. It's not an opening for me to tell you mine. You know, that's not
yes.
what the button says. And
yes.
tell me your experience of peace and I'll tell you mine. It doesn't say that. It just says tell me yours. And so we're in a conversation and I get to hear your experience of peace, and in order to tell me, you're going to have an experience of peace. So that's a good deal.
That's a good deal.
And who knows, at the end of the conversation, you might say, and tell me yours, and then I'll get to have an experience of peace.
Yes.
Of course, I can have one anytime I want anyway, but it's nice to do those sorts of things together.
Yes. Sherry, the phone lines are ringing here.
Very good.
I'd like to welcome Mary from Santa Cruz. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Sherry, the phone lines are ringing here.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Welcome, Mary from Santa Cruz. You're on Open Air.
Oh, my goodness.
You need to turn off your computer.
Hello.
Okay, wait a second. Let me do that. Okay, that's better. Hi.
Thank you.
Oh, you guys, how that works.
Like, whoa, I'm hearing things twice. Oh, my goodness, my conditioned mind really has taken over.
This is karma.
Listen, I called for two reasons. One, I wanted to talk a little bit about some conditioned suffering, and I also was hoping to get a little more information about the Living Peace Sangha meeting and what that's going to be like that's coming up in, I think, just a couple weeks now.
Oh, uh-huh.
Okay,
yes.
The one that's in the Lucy Stern Center, I believe,
yes.
in Palo Alto. I'd like to hear
yes.
some more about that.
Yes.
The suffering part, it just seems like the more I practice, the worse it gets.
Yeah.
And, of course,
you know, that we have an expression for that?
Yes, and I think I read it last night. What was it? The farther I go, the worse I fare?
Yeah, going farther and faring worse.
And I'm wondering, how long does this keep going that way?
Well, you know, it goes that way, actually, for as long as you're willing for it to go that way.
Ah.
Because what's actually happening is that you are becoming more aware of what's always been going on.
Uh-huh.
So as you become more subtly aware, if you're looking at it from a point of view of, this doesn't look good, I want it to look like that, then it's not going to look good. If you look at it from a point of view of, this is great, look at how much I'm seeing, then it's a whole different experience. But everything about it is the same.
Uh-huh.
You're seeing the same stuff. It's just you're seeing it through a lens of, this is great. I'm doing awareness practice. I'm being aware. Look at all this stuff I'm seeing. And back to what we were talking about earlier, if you're not taking it personally, if you don't think it says anything about you, then you're just seeing a lot of great stuff.
Well, for example, I've noticed often I seem to kind of get into a depression or sadness about, you know, life, mainly probably because I don't think it's going the way it should be going, or sometimes it's just a sadness and an emptiness or a longing. And if I had to keep telling myself over and over the last time this happened was that that doesn't mean anything about me. All it means is that I'm a person that is feeling sad and depressed, and it's okay, and it's okay. But there's still, there's still some resistance. I want it to go away, and I want to be not, I want to feel like I'm coming from center, and I'm happy and accepting of life, and for some reason, I'm not.
Yes. Well, because you want it to feel a certain way.
Right.
Yeah. And so one of the big secrets to that is that instead of being identified with someone who is resisting the person who is depressed, because that's what's going on, right?
Right.
Yeah, I want to live at center, and I could if I could just get rid of that person who's depressed.
Right. What does this person keep showing up for all the time anyway?
That's right. It's ruining my good time. But what's possible for us is to move to a centered place. And in that centered place, there is acceptance and a sense of well-being, and life is just the way it is. And okay. And then from that place, we see, oh, well, here's a part of me who is depressed, and here's a part of me who really resists that part who is depressed. And then your experience is of the awareness, the acceptance, the compassion.
Oh, uh-huh. So again, it's that, it isn't that anything's really changed, it's that disidentifying that I hear you talk about.
That's right. So if that depressed person were somebody that you loved unconditionally, you know, it's your child, it's your sister, it's your best friend, and this person is depressed, you would say, hey, what can I do to help? You need anything? You want to go for a walk? Shall we go get a bite to eat? You want to go catch a movie? You want to, what should we do? And you wouldn't feel like you had to resist her or push her away or change her or fix her. You'd know, well, you know, sometimes she gets depressed. And I love her.
Right. And why is it always so much easier when I'm talking to you than when I'm not?
Because I represent, this is a true story, you let me represent conscious, compassionate awareness in your life.
I let you, right, exactly.
Yeah. And so when I'm here, you go, conscious, compassionate awareness, that's right, yes. I like that. That's how I want to feel. Yes, I feel that. And what you're learning to do is recognize that place inside yourself and owning it.
Yes.
And it's a process.
Yes, I guess it is. It is a process. Oh, and my calendar for June, it's a Thich Nhat Hanh calendar.
Uh-huh.
I love it. It says, enlightenment, peace, and joy will not be granted by someone else. The well is within us, and if we dig deeply in the present moment, the water will spring forth.
Yes.
And that is just so it. I mean, like, much as I love you, I guess you can't give me enlightenment.
No, because you already have it.
I have it. And that's
right.
Becoming more and more aware of that, I guess, is what I have to do.
That's right.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful thing, because instead of being somebody who needs to get something from somebody else,
mm-hmm.
what you're realizing is that your authentic nature is conscious, compassionate awareness, and when you move into that place and you offer that to these parts of you who are depressed, unhappy, fearful, whatever it is, you get to open that treasure house of yours, and you get to share generously with these people who feel that they don't have.
Mm.
That's a glorious thing.
Yeah. It is.
So it actually changes your identity in the sense of realizing that you're not one of these little people who suffers. You are that conscious, compassionate center. That's who you actually are.
Mm.
Isn't that a good thing?
That is a different way to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. Thank you.
So they're actually helping you transform.
Hmm. Instead of being pesky and unwanted, they're actually helpers.
That's right. They're helping you find that unconditional place so that you can embrace all of you into it.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. I guess that's another way of saying what you hear all the time, that until you love and accept yourself, you don't have much to give the rest of the world.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yep. And so the rest of the world is just kind of there waiting for you to open up that treasure chest.
Oh dear, the pressure.
Get generous.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Well, thank you.
And tell me.
Makes me want to invite you. You're right there next to us. You know, tomorrow in Carmel, we're going to start this retreat. You can come be with us for a week and we'll practice this.
Actually, I will be there.
You will?
Yes.
Well, isn't that a deal?
I'm very excited about it.
I'm very excited about it. Good. We're going to have fun, I hope.
I think we will. The weather should be beautiful.
Excellent.
Wonderful.
I'll see you tomorrow.
Okay. Thank you. Okay.
Thanks. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Mary. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on KZSU Stanford. Sherry, Mary had a second question there.
I was just thinking about that.
Yeah, shall we address it?
Yeah, what was it? I knew that when she hung up, I thought there was another part to that. I couldn't remember what it was.
Yes, she was asking about the Sangha gathering on June 13th
right.
in Palo Alto.
Yeah, you want to say a little about that?
Sure. So this is going to be an event put on by Living Compassion, which has a number of projects, including the CCP Center and the work in Zimbabwe and Zambia, and this radio show, Open Air. And we're going to have a...
And the There's Nothing Wrong With You work,
yes.
All the workshops and introspective work that we do through awareness practice.
Yes, which we're calling Compassion Works.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to get together and... have a little overview of those projects, and have some great food, and be together with
them. Have some good conversation with some wonderful people.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
All on a Sunday afternoon, is it?
It's a Sunday afternoon, June 13th, from 4 to 6 p.m., and if you want more information, you can go to the Living Compassion website and drop us an RSVP there.
Yeah, an RSVP would be very nice, because we want to be able to feed you.
Yes. And that website is livingcompassion.org. It's been great to be on the air today.
It's been grand.
Yes. Yes.
I must say, I don't miss baseball. Maybe that's a bad attitude, but I don't miss it.
You wish them
I
well.
I like having this 5-6.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Okay. So let's do it again next week.
Let's do it again next week. You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'd like to thank all of our listeners and our callers today. I'd like to thank Jay and Michael for their stellar work. If you want to email us before next week, send us an email to openair@kzsu.org. There's lots of information at Sherry's website. That's sherryhuber.com, spelled CHERIHUBER.com, including archives of this show and a full schedule of Sherry's busy activities all over the world and beyond.
I like that. All over the world and beyond. Yes.
Thank you, Sherry.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Michael.
Good night.
Good night.